You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
For better or for worse, a lot of people in this quarantine situation are not working, and that's going to be a serious issue in the economy, but it's just reality right now, and it's really, I do stress to anybody listening, it's really important right now to not be focused on which direction the panic is blowing. You always want to be the hero of your story. And if you improve your skills, if you improve your outlook on life, if you invest in yourself and your health, that's how you prepare yourself to be the hero of this particular story. And again, people shouldn't feel bad about trying to enjoy themselves, and that's fine.
I mean, it can definitely, for some people, become a lot to spend 24 hours a day with your family members for however many weeks or months on end. But at the end of the day, it's like a really cool opportunity for you to spend time with people that you love and respect.
You know, that's such a good point. And if you're trying to figure out how to better yourself, people are always asking me right now, and I'm sure they're asking you, what should I invest in? Should I start putting money in the market? And I tell people, invest in yourself right now. This is how you're going to get wealthy, is if you use time like this to invest in becoming a better person, again, becoming the hero of your story versus the victim. Lieberman with me from Morning Brew, which is, by the way, Alex, I just want to tell you, first off, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I want to tell you, this is the only financial newsletter I read every single morning, Morning Brew. I get like, let's say 10 of them. I don't even know why I get so many. And all of them instantly, as soon as I wake up, go immediately into the trash. I open this one, read it from beginning to end. You have a unique voice. You always focus on the news that's actually important, not all the BS news that everyone else is sharing. And I really respect what you guys are doing. So just for people listening, Morning Brew, where do they get your newsletter? Morningbrew.com.
Yeah, just www.morningbrew.com.
And it's totally free. I'm not getting paid to say this. I actually called you. This is the first time we're talking. I actually called you because you wrote this great guide to living your best quarantined life.
And I thought this was so good that it's not even good for just living a quarantined life, although it's great for that. But it's just, you have so many good resources in here that I just wanted to kind of talk about it and give this as suggestions for people listening while we go through this crisis of quarantining and get your views on what you were considering and why these things. So first off, you say stay informed. And let's talk about that one. What were your thoughts there? Obviously, stay informed about coronavirus, but what are you thinking?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for the kind words about the brew. And just to give you a sense of kind of how all this came about, what we started realizing in the last week or two, as just news and new rules around COVID-19 were coming about, is that Morning Brew, just as we've always had a hand in this, but especially now, we have a hand in and have an obligation to informing people in a way that they trust. But specifically, we believe that one of the purposes we serve is just cutting through all the noise. And we know that there is always noise, but especially in a time like this, more content is being cranked out than ever before. And we're just seeing the proliferation of content on social platforms. So for us, our view is, how can we keep our reader informed with the most timely news and events in their life? How can we do it with our own color and commentary, but also how can we be a great curator, kind of being a partner to our readers and finding the information that they actually would give a shit about and bringing it to the fore for them?
Yeah, and I think you bring up an interesting point, which is that with so much content out there, and obviously whenever you have large amounts of content, there's some ratio of signal to noise where the signal is very small and the noise is very high. And if you become a trusted brand, which Morning Brew has become, then I think curation is a great business model and is going to be even more so in the months and years to come as maybe a little bit more isolation than usual becomes a part of our lives now that we've gotten a taste of it. So I think this is useful. So by the way, and in this list of ideal things for a quarantine, you go over everything from, you know, books, articles, even cooking, and so many other things. We're going to go over all of them, but just on this stand form, you're talking mostly about coronavirus. You recommend the CDC site, the WHO site, the JHU site, which events are canceled here. You have that dashboard that tracks the outbreak. I wonder if is that the one that was created by that 16-year-old kid?
I don't know if it was a 16-year-old kid, but I know it's through a center at Johns Hopkins.
Oh, this is a great site too. I've been to this one, and it really does tell you minute by minute like how cases are developing and so on. You know, the CDC, the WHO, I do trust their data, but I feel like they're also, and this is the hard part, whereas how do you find the right immunologists or economists or whatever who are tracking different angles on this with their perspective? I think that's kind of a second level to this, and I'm wondering if you considered any of that.
Yeah, 100%. So for us, like, this was the baseline for just understanding that life right now, there's a new normal, and how do we give someone a tool in their toolkit to live a new normal? And so to the first part you're talking about around staying informed, to us, like, obviously work is important and understanding how to navigate work is really important. And then the second part of the article is, okay, when you're not working, what's the other stuff you can do so you don't go stir crazy? But the first thing we had was just understanding what is happening with the outbreak and how can you be a smart person and citizen and do the right thing by your family and society in navigating COVID. My thought is that we're going to continue to create content that cuts through the noise and, like you said, brings to the fore trusted voices that all hit on different angles of the virus and of the environment. And the cool thing is, we have the ability to do that through multiple assets and mediums. Obviously, this was a piece of content that was originally published in our newsletter, and then the fuller article was published online. But another lever that we can pull is our podcast. We have a weekly podcast called Business Casual, where we interview thought leaders around different topics in business. That can be a complement to this article to really dive deep into the nitty-gritty around the implications on certain industries, the implications on life, on mental wellness, that potentially we couldn't get into the nuances of in this article.
Well, and also, here's what I really appreciate about this list. And again, there's a lot of stuff here on other aspects of life, but you skip traditional news media, which thank God you did that, because that's just a pile of junk. And I cannot believe the misinformation I read almost every day, but people swear to like gospel. So at least here you're focusing on places that have facts or as close as possible to what we believe to be facts. And I appreciate that. You know, again, maybe a second level is here are the expert Twitter accounts we think you should follow, but that also requires an expert to help you curate that.
So to that point, that's something we were talking about is this is a great starter kit. To your point, there are some journalists that are doing incredible work covering this, but then there's a lot of noise and misinformation as well. And to the first point you made, this is why curation with the right voice that is relatable is so important now, but just is generally becoming so important as the cost of creating content is zero. Thus, we have so much content and more content than ever before. But I think there are different ways that we can double click into curating for people. One of those being just simply telling people, if you're going to be consuming your content in a platform, at least how can you be smart in curating your platform, whether it be Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, so that you're getting not just the right information, but getting information from different people that hits on different angles of the current environment.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you had top 10 TikTok accounts to follow about coronavirus? It's like all these teenage kids that know they're kind of immune and they're just still doing like their little shitty dances. We're immune. We're immune. And it's like, anyway, that was just a rant. But, I'm gonna quickly go through the next couple categories. Yep. You have a great guide. You have the Mayo Clinic guide for setting up an ergonomic workstation at home. You have many ideas for that. Video calls, how not to look like an idiot. You talk about links about having the best appearance. Pro tip, you have etiquette, backgrounds. Scheduling, you mentioned Calendly and Todoist. Phone call for you, but you're not gonna pick it up. Nope. It's for your girlfriend. Well, who do you think it is? So, is it her mom?
My guess is it is absolutely a spammer. 100% a spammer.
Because everyone knows you're home, so all the spammers are calling.
Oh, I was going to say, right now is literally prime time for any spammers or fishers or telemarketers, because they know exactly where to get you.
By the way, why does she have a landline? Is your girlfriend 80 years old?
It's my girlfriend's parents, and I can't give too much shit because my family has a landline also still.
That's funny. Okay, so this is a really critical one. So you have a whole category, things to do when you're not working. And obviously, for better or for worse, a lot of people in this quarantine situation are not working. And that's going to be a serious issue in the economy, but it's just reality right now. And it's really, I do stress to anybody listening, it's really important right now to not be focused on which direction the panic is blowing. And really do things to, you always want to be the hero of your story. And if you improve your skills, if you improve your outlook on life, if you invest in yourself and your health, that's how you prepare yourself to be the hero of this particular story. So your first category here is learn new skills. Do you want to talk about how you pick? You have some great links here. I love these links.
Yep. So it's interesting. This is something obviously we're talking a little bit about before we started the episode. But basically, our view is that in general, our audience, which is the motivated, intellectually curious, aspirational professional who's in their mid-20s to mid-30s, they have a fear of plateauing. They have a fear of not bettering themselves constantly. So to us, this is kind of like table stakes of life for who our reader is when you have free time, do things with that time. Do things to better yourself as a person, as a family member, as a professional. Working from home and self-quarantining yourself only, I would say, potentially creates more of an incentive or a fire under people's asses, because there are only so many things you can do now. As choice becomes more limited, it provides focus to the 5 to 10 things you can do, where normally you have 40 to 50 things to do. And so basically what we wanted to do was just give a well-rounded selection of things that if you want to better yourself, you can do, from educational courses to learning data science, to playing chess, to, you know, learning how to play piano, which candidly I'm trying to do right now and not making a whole lot of progress. We just wanted to provide basically enough diversity of things so that if you want to pick up a new skill, you can find in one place all the ways to do that.
So I want to go through some of these. Like, you have this one link. The title is Want to Learn a New Skill Faster? Take Short Breaks Early and Often. And I love this article. It's about Thomas Opong. And he basically says, first off, he says the benefits of learning new things, that research has found dopamine is closely linked to the learning process. And then he goes into the science of skill mastery. And I love this. My next book actually is on this topic. And I really like that we're no longer focusing on the so-called 10,000 hour rule, where it takes 10,000 hours to learn something. In fact, there are a lot of techniques and a lot of research that shows ways to be the best at a new passion very quickly. It doesn't matter how old you are. And, you know, he, in this particular article, he talks about taking breaks early and often is critical. Take breaks on purpose, learn in short bursts. I think that's a really valuable article to read. I'll let people read it. And then you have, just given this new environment, people are going to need to learn new skills. And there's more and more technology, of course, entering society. You have this link on linking to all these courses on data science. There's also a link on how you can write programs without knowing how to code, which is really valuable. I didn't even know that site existed. You have a link to 450 free Ivy League online courses. And this just underlines again, like, why are we paying $70,000 a year to go to college when there are not only these courses that are just online for free, there's places at online schools, but you have courses ranging from computer science to art and design to humanities to health and medicine. Just such a great list of courses. I'm going to see what course I'm just scrolling down. I'm going to see what course I'm going to take. Let's see. We've got some fun ones. The Ethics of Eating that's really an online free course. I love that.
That sounds great. I think to that point, it's just, I think the thought process is that you're never going to regret taking one of these courses. Even if you find taking one of these courses that you only learned one thing and it was a lot of time, you're way less likely to regret that than maybe like sinking into your couch and watching Survivor. Admittedly, I watched Survivor also, but I think it just comes down to balance. And when you're spending 24 hours a day in a confined location, having a diversity of experiences within that defined location, I think, becomes increasingly important. And so I'm not telling you to take all 450 free Ivy League online classes, but maybe you do that. You do one of those instead of binge watching 10 TV shows over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And look, also, and so one of your next links, you link to some long form articles that are interesting. I love these because these are the sorts of articles where if you just read the article, you feel like your IQ has gone up. So this first one, which is by Tim Urban, he's a great writer. He's got a great blog called Wait But Why. This first one's called The Fermi Paradox. And it's just this really beautiful way. It's a long form article. It's almost like a mini book, but not that long. Yeah. But he asked the question and then he answers it in a very intelligent and easy to read way. If there's all these hundreds of billions of planets, and if we think that there's life elsewhere, well, where are they? And the whole article is this brilliant way of answering that question. And along the way, you kind of learn in one article the entire field of astronomy. So it's great.
Yeah, Tim is pretty amazing. Like you said, it literally is like mini books in all of his articles. You feel like you take a real life applicable college course with every single thing by him that you read. You know, a little bit further down is his 4-part series on Elon Musk, Tesla and SpaceX. If you want to better understand Elon, his psyche, his approach to life, and then how it takes form with his companies, that is the best effectively like mini book that I've read on it. And I think Tim just does an incredible way of taking really complex, lofty topics and distilling them in a way that if you're willing to put the time in, you're going to learn a ton from.
Right. And you have another article by him, which I think is really important. Like, I find a lot of people are staying home and they're almost feeling anxious that they're not getting enough done because we still have that adrenaline of work in us. But he has got this great article, Why Procrastinators Procrastinate. You also linked to this. And I think that's a very useful article to read as people are sitting around trying to decide what to do next. It's okay a little bit to not do anything. Like we need to kind of almost rejuvenate ourselves after all this stress. But that's a good one. And then, I'll skip around. I love this article. You mentioned the 4-part series on Elon Musk, very valuable. I love this one about 1,000 true fans, #try100. So that refers to there's this great, one of the best essays on marketing ever. And this was written, I don't know, like 10 years ago. Kevin Kelly, the former editor of Wired, wrote an essay called 1,000 True Fans, that if you want to make a living and you have something you truly believe in and love, you need and you have a unique voice in, you need 1,000 true fans and you'll make a living. And this article coming by Legion, coming out of Andreessen Horowitz, the VC firm, says, oh, maybe you only need 100 true fans. And they refer to this as the passion economy. And that's incredibly valuable too. Like these are game-changing articles. And if people have the time to read it, which they do right now, these will change your life potentially.
Absolutely. And I think potentially what this hits on is just the idea that as technology has enabled basically, in the words of Ben Thompson, everyone to be a printing press or have a printing press, where the marginal cost of creating anything, being a creator, is zero, whereas it used to be way more than zero, it gives people the ability to get very specific in the content they're creating. Thus, if they find the 100 people that are diehard fans about that very specific niche of content they're creating or educating on, they potentially can charge a lot of money that is more than enough to sustain a livelihood. And I think you're even starting to see some of this within Substack, where people are creating paid newsletters that are very expensive and they don't need a whole lot of people for to basically pay for life for themselves and turn kind of content creators into like content creator entrepreneurs, which I think is a new concept that has just recently come about with some of these tools.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend just moved to Nice where he publishes a very good newsletter about persuasion, and it's very valuable and he has a very unique experience. But there's no reason to live, for instance, in a metropolitan area, expensive area like New York City, if you're creating online content that's valuable and you're selling and so on. And I think, I don't know, thinking in these ways is transforming for this next generation. And I'm skipping around a little, but I love this article you linked to. I hadn't seen it before. Some of these other articles I had seen before, but this one, Peter Thiel's Religion, was so great. Now, I've done a podcast with Peter Thiel. I've been to his birthday party. I know a lot of people who work with him and around him. Read his book, of course. But this article, he thinks in such a unique and not quite on purpose contrarian, but he thinks in such a unique way to see kind of the genesis of his philosophy and his way of looking at the world, which is what this article does, Peter Thiel's Religion that you link to. I think it's just, thank you for linking to that. I had never read that before.
100%. And I think there's like a nice linkage between what we were just talking about in this. So the author of that is David Perel. David is one of like, I would say the smartest, most prolific, like young bloggers on the internet that I've seen. Like I'm pretty sure he's only 24 or 25. And he just does these incredible think pieces around everything from, content to commerce, which he did with my co-founder Austin, which was basically the idea of content creators become effectively marketing channels. Like Morning Brew is not just a media company. We are a marketing channel with 2 million people. And so it explored the idea of if media companies start to create and sell things, whether it's t-shirts, shoes, games, this idea of going from a content business to a commerce business as a way of diversifying revenue is a very real strategy that companies are taking on. But he created that article about Peter Thiel. And to the point of what you were saying before around like creating content from different parts of the world, he actually, like, he has this online course called Rite of Passage. And the whole thing is about how to write online in a way that attracts an audience and ultimately in a way that you can monetize. And I think a lot of it ultimately ends up focusing on something very specific that you'll have 100 passionate people versus, 10,000 so-so people in terms of kind of like your content, but don't feel the urge to come back every single day.
Right. And look, I think that's what distinguishes Morning Brew versus like the average, just like, here's a summary of the stock markets yesterday. Like, I think you guys have a unique voice and a unique perspective. And again, I remember I saw Peter Thiel interviewed in the New York Times, and he just about 3 years ago. I forgot who interviewed him, but every answer he had just blew me away, how smart it was and how just unique, how uniquely he looked at things. And so this Peter Thiel's Religion article, great article. Every article here is great. So I'll just skip around. You have three big things, the most important forces shaping the world. You have an article about lessons from Uber. But then now you have 50 best nonfiction books of the last 25 years. And you know, it's funny because I do think people have started to read less because there's so much attention for our time, you know, so much demand for our attention. We're in an attention glutted economy. So I have a choice to watch 50 YouTube videos or I can read a book. But you have like some really, great books on this list. A lot of these books I had never heard of, and I'm a pretty avid reader. So, but I just want to mention you have great books, well-written books. The books I have read, I think of all of them as really well-written and books that I admire in terms of their writing style and the information. So I'm curious how you pick this one, because a lot of people are putting out their favorite list books.
Yeah. So this was a book that, a list that our editorial team found that, you know, between our, let's call it 8 writers on the editorial staff, they're a very well-read bunch, and they had just a really good eye for books that they knew that were in this list. But again, to your point, books that they didn't know, but given the credibility that they knew the books they had read had, they trusted that these other books potentially were just as valuable as the others. And again, the thought here is we're not telling people to go read all 50 books over the next 3 weeks or 3 months, but it's more of one, having a diversity of content experiences. So reading book content, reading website content, listening to podcasts, all of it kind of paints a different picture. And I would say just provides a more well-rounded experience to you as a thinker. And especially for people who write, reading a book versus reading, you know, online articles versus listening to pods, all provide a different skill set or way of thinking about the world to write. But candidly, like, this is something that I even deal with myself, is the idea that I enjoy reading. I always question the value of reading books versus the value of reading other things. I believe it is a really valuable exercise. But I think a really interesting conversation I've had with people is just, When is it appropriate to read books versus consume content in other forms? But I think this is a really good list for people to get started and just pick one book from here. I don't think you can go wrong with any of them.
Yeah, and I think to your point, it's almost always better to read a book than to read a newspaper, because newspaper content, A, it's not well written. It was just briefly written, you know, the night before or whatever. It's probably not even up to date by the time you've read it, and it's going to disappear in a day. Whereas, like, this book list has, it's a really well-written book. Not only do you get pleasure from the style of the writing, but it's like you're absorbing the past year or two of someone's life that they poured into researching this quality book. And now you have that same information without having to do all the work. So it's a really, I think it, when you can find a good book, and again, they're just as rare as, you know, good is rare in every industry, but when you can find a good book, it's so much worth reading rather than reading other content. And then the next site you recommend the website 5 Books, which interviews writers about their 5 favorite books across every category, rating from economics to history to, I'm looking at their site right now, Ken Liu, who's one of my favorite science fiction writers, he wrote his list of 5 speculative fiction books that he recommends. And it's good to even have these sites to refer to. So
yeah, I think to that point, like, people in general are aspirational and look towards role models for recommendations. Again, it comes down to being a trusted source. And so if you have authors, or people that you trust their recommendations, or you just wonder, like, how do they think about the world? How do they form their worldview? People are always going to be attracted to recommendations that people, that role models can give, if it means for the person who's looking for the next recommendation, if it can make them a little bit more intelligent or a little bit closer to closing the gap between them and their role model.
Yeah. And then you have recommendations from the Brew Crew, I guess people on your team.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of books here. One of the books, it's one of my favorite books of all time, Station 11, which is kind of this fictional post-pandemic story by Emily St. John Mandel. I actually had this opportunity to produce the TV show with a friend of mine and I turned it down, but it is being now officially produced by Paramount TV. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's a great book. It's a great book. Then you have a section on exercise. This is so critical because, like, in my building, for instance, there's a gym, but all public gyms now are closed down in New York City. So the gym's closed. So this is really critical that you could learn how to, and this is going to be a foundational thing too. Guess what? You can work out without a gym now. And so you have a link to a workout database that, and you mentioned this should have everything you need, but you have a guide to at-home workouts. You have YouTube channels for yoga, fitness, Pilates. So it's really important stuff.
I also think this just hits on like a broader theme, which is in times where more constraints are put around things, it forces people to be creative and just use ingenuity to find solutions. And what I mean by that is like, there are obviously limitations on how one can have physical wellness now, right? Like you can't necessarily be outside for extended period of time, especially if you're in like major metros. If you live in an apartment building or a complex, gyms, your gym that you normally could go to is off limits. And so it's a question of like, you only have so many options now, but it's been really interesting to see different ways that people are finding creative solutions to still work out. For example, like my girlfriend and her mom, they're bar junkies. They love doing bar. Obviously they couldn't go to their bar studio. So now that bar studio is live streaming to people through Zoom, which by the way, Zoom, the amount of awareness for Zoom over the last 2 weeks, the growth in that awareness, I think is incredible.
I think that's the one stock that has gone up through all of this. Let me see. Like today.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe Blue Apron also.
I mean, Zoom today was like 20% down, but let me just see over the past 6 months. Oh yeah, Zoom is 20% down from an all-time high today. So yeah. It's so funny. This stock is just like gone through the roof. It was at just a few months ago, it was at like a dollar, right? And now it's at $9.55. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, people just didn't know about it. And now as it becomes the only option to keep human connection, it is becoming like a vital tool to have these creative solutions that I'm talking about. So from the bar instructor teaching the bar class through Zoom with all the attendees being able to turn their video camera on so it feels collaborative, to literally like kids group chatting like with a lot of people, which is where Zoom really thrives, is when you don't have just five people, but you have 25 people and the connection stays strong. You have kids using Zoom for the first time where they never knew what it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. And, you know, I've actually never used Zoom, so I'm going to give it a try.
It's incredible.
I do think this is like, just like how we're doing this podcast via Skype, but you know, every quality is so much better than it was even a few years ago when I decided to go from Skype podcast to only in-person podcast. Now I'm doing some Skype podcasts because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
But this is great. It's like we're in the same room. It's totally high quality. By the 100%. Way, so then you have some great links about dealing with anxiety. I've also been putting up my own articles and links about anxiety, and I'm about to do a podcast on this as well. But I never heard of this site, 7cups.com, that you link to.
Yeah. So I had never heard about it also, but I think again, in concept, it makes a ton of sense. At the end of the day, like I think in a situation that forces self-quarantine to some people, like loneliness is, it's quite obvious that that is going to be a thing, but to actually have a tool to try to still have human connection when you are in some form of self-quarantine is an indispensable tool. And I think just in general, like the way that society has moved in there being less taboo to just talk about things, talk about anxiety, talk about mental wellness, where kind of like there's been this renaissance of mindfulness, meditation, and mental health and wellness. I think this is a period of time right now that will benefit from kind of that renaissance in the sense that having an openness to talk about these things is never more important than when people quite literally have to be isolated for their own health. And so Seven Cups is just like one of so many tools that I think are able to survive and thrive now that human beings live in a context where they feel open to consume or pay for these types of services.
Let's stop to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And you know, I never believed the whole business model of online therapy, but now I actually do, because because of circumstances, I'm seeing my own therapist via Skype. But I notice on this site, there's three things. There's basically a bunch of self-help guides and blah, blah, blah. Then there's chat rooms where people can talk to each other about their anxieties, like you just mentioned. And then there's affordable online therapy with licensed therapists. And they mention here, and this is kind of quote unquote social proof, as Robert Cialdini would say, but they've had over 40,168,000 conversations on this site. And so I think I never even heard of this, but it's like certainly a good business model. And you have other, plenty other links here that all seem, you know, seven ways to volunteer remotely. And I've been encouraging, I'm going to check this out, because I've been encouraging people figure out ways to help each other, because that's certainly a great way to reduce anxiety, reduce this constant obsession with how this crisis is affecting yourself. So I think, you know, in the article you linked to is the coronavirus and the rise of the virtual volunteer. This is so incredibly valuable. I really encourage people to check it out. And you'll be able to find, of course, all these links on the Morning Brew guide, which we'll link to at the end, or we'll tell you where to find it at the end. But if you go just in the middle, and if you go to morningbrew.com, you'll be able to find this. Then you have a bunch of cooking related sites, and people are so worried about food and lack of food. This is really great, like easy to cook meals, recipes. You have a list of drink recipes. Making your own coffee can save time and money. You have all these great links. And I didn't know this. You have a link to Uber Eats. They waived all the delivery fees for independent restaurants. Boom. This is great. Parenting. This is a very critical one, because everyone now is complaining like, oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with my kids? They're all home from school, likely till the end of the year. And so homeschooling has suddenly become a conversation again. And you have a thread with great resources for homeschooling. You have all these resources for online education, including, you know, you have a Facebook link, which has a bunch of free resources that include Khan Academy and BBC Learning and so on. But this is going to, this virtual education is going to be a brand new, not a brand new, but it's going to be a big discussion in the coming year, I feel.
And I think it was actually on Ben Thompson's podcast I was listening to yesterday, where one of the things that he spoke about is sometimes like new concepts, frameworks, behaviors, it's all about timing. And even if they make sense, you need a certain type of context to for the listener or the reader to be able to latch onto, to truly trust whether it's this new behavior or thought process. And he was using it as an example to just to talk about one of his own theories that he's now preached. He first wrote about it in 2014, but because the social platforms and technology wasn't mature enough in just like their life cycles, people really couldn't grasp the ideas. And I think potentially what this period of work from home and self-quarantining is creating is, aside from obviously this focus on all this content around COVID-19, I think it creates a context for certain technologies and behaviors that people have talked about for a long time, but hasn't really caught on with the masses. This potentially provides that context for people to catch on to it. And I think like virtual learning, whether it be homeschooling or continuing education at like the graduate level, I think this provides a context for people to latch onto things and say, you know, people started doing this a lot during this period of self-quarantine when the pandemic was going on, but people actually realized that like it was a way better experience and it provided a lot more flexibility. Maybe there's something actually to this. And I think you may end up seeing this with a lot of different behaviors.
And, you know, you mentioned Ben Thompson's podcast, very good podcast. If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's called Exponent. Yep. He's the founder of the blog Strachery and always smart, topical, has a new way of looking at things. So it's a very good podcast to listen to as well. It's not for sure. It's not too over the top or in the weeds. It's very easy to follow. So I'm skipping a bunch of links. Again, this is just a whole valuable list of links. Now you have a section, just have fun, which I agree too. You don't have to be productive or creative every moment of the day. It's not so bad. To be honest, over the weekend, I binge watched at least two different TV series. So
what do you watch?
I watched Hello Ladies, which is an HBO show that Stephen Merchant did. Stephen Merchant's been on my podcast. He's such a funny guy. And he also co-wrote The Office with Ricky Gervais. And I watched Extras, also on HBO, which is a series that Ricky Gervais did. And Stephen Merchant's in it. And it's just fun. And I watched an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I've been sticking to sitcoms. My wife likes watching Outbreak and Contagion. Yep. I'm not watching those. Well, to be fair, I watched Contagion because a friend of mine was the technical advisor on it, but I didn't like watching.
But in general, it sounds like you guys have pretty different tastes when it comes to what type of shows and movies to watch.
Although last night she went along with me and we watched six episodes of the Jim Gaffigan show, and Jim Gaffigan's one of my favorite comedians.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. And okay, then you have some business movies you recommend. I've seen all of these. They're great. Too Big to Fail, Wolf of Wall Street, The Founder. Then there's the book Becoming Warren Buffett, one of my favorite business books of all time. You mentioned some other ones, then you mentioned some Morning Brew favorites, HBO Succession, Better Call Saul, Amazon's Fleabag. I love Succession and Better Call Saul. I never totally got into Fleabag, although I tried it. Love Better Call Saul. And the theme song to Succession is my favorite song of all time.
It is an amazing show. Yeah, the theme song's great. And honestly, as a media business, I think it's a great show for anyone, but especially as just a young media business that is living in a digital age, but still sees so many glimpses of traditional media and what things were like 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and what being a massive conglomerate media businesses now. It's really cool to see a show that kind of depicts it in, I would say, what feels like a relatively accurate way. And I know there are kind of nods to this, the characters in the show portraying certain people in the media, but irrespective of that, I think it's just a really quality show.
And then you give, this is what I really appreciate too about the list you put together. You give some lists of other people putting together good shows. Like, for instance, you link to the Ringers list. And I think people don't realize that it's important when you make this kind of curated list to have an abundant and a philosophy of abundance versus scarcity. You can't think if you link to somebody else that people are going to abandon you and go to the other person. That's almost like thinking like if you introduce your girlfriend to your male friends that she's going to instantly leave you for these other friends. No, in fact, the best business models of all are the ones that link to other places. Think about a site where their entire business model is to get rid of you as fast as possible and send you to another site. That business model, Google.com, is worth $1.5 trillion. So it's a money kind of philosophy. So I appreciate that you also link to other well-curated lists.
Totally. So, at the end of the day, it's a job of, you know, Ben Thompson would call it an aggregator, which is any of these platforms just aggregating supply, which is all the people that are contributing the content or the information on their site. Obviously, we're not Facebook or Google, but I think to be a great curator, you have to have an openness to not just linking to yourself, unless you believe you are truly a creator. And so every link that you're linking to, you're also creating, but the economics of that become pretty hard.
And then you link, of course, to your favorite podcasts, which, by the way, you don't include my podcast, but that's okay. You've linked to a bunch of very good podcasts here. I enjoy all of these very, very smart picks. Maybe one day I could earn my way onto your list. I will try my hardest. And you also link to the sites of some of the guests of your podcast, all very good people, all people I know very well, and they're great people. And then I appreciate this because I would say that the activity I've probably done the most since quarantining is playing games. And you link to a bunch of game sites and video game sites. Earlier, you linked to chess.com. I'll let people peruse this and figure out their own games that they like. I've been playing on the Internet Chess Club. I've been playing Go Online, Backgammon Online. I love classic board games, like ancient classic board games.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that you're linking to all these game sites. And again, people shouldn't feel bad about trying to enjoy themselves, you know, and that's fine.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it can definitely, for some people, become a lot to spend 24 hours a day with your family members for however many weeks or months on end. But at the end of the day, it's like a really cool opportunity for you to spend time with people that you love and respect and to connect with those people over board games. I find to be one of kind of like the best, just most heartwarming and enjoyable activities when you're in your home.
You know, that's such a good point. And, you know, I remember I was researching board games in 2002. When kind of the 9/11 crash was still happening. And I was thinking of writing a book then about board games. You know, basically the idea is that if you learn just two or three little tricks, you could probably beat the average player in almost every board game. And one thing I discovered was that board games are a category that always go up in a recession. And I don't know if that's always true now because of online games, but basically people stay indoors just like they're doing now when times are tough, and they play games and they stay close to their family. And, you know, I'm going to even play one of these games with my kids later today. Like my kids are, two of my kids are with me. One of my kids are abroad. Two of my kids are quarantined elsewhere.
Wow.
So I'm going to reach out to them and hopefully play some games with them using this and maybe even use some of these cooking recipes. And, you know, again, I'm going to definitely read Peter Thiel's Religion. I love this article about the 100 true fans versus 1,000. There's so many resources in this that even beyond the quarantine, this is valuable. But certainly during the quarantine, if you're trying to figure out how to better yourself, people are always asking me right now, and I'm sure they're asking you, what should I invest in? Should I start putting money in the market? And I tell people, invest in yourself right now. This is how you're going to get wealthy, is if you use time like this to invest in becoming a better person, again, becoming the hero of your story versus the victim and someone who's ruled by world events, as opposed to being the person who can take world events and be the ruler of them. And so I think a list like this is very valuable for elevating people. And it's a service that you provided. And it, I thank you for it. I hope my listeners enjoy it. And it's really great that you did this.
No, thank you. Thank you for actually like spending time looking through it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, to your point, like now is such a good time to invest in yourself, always is, but now has kind of like maybe forced that mindset. And for us, it's like, you know, if you're going to spend 3 hours in a day investing in yourself when you're not working, like learning a new skill, spending time with your family, playing a game, we want 2 hours and 45 minutes out of those 3 hours to be spent actually learning the skill and 15 minutes to be deciding what that skill is. And to us, that's what this is a resource for. And so the vast majority of the time is you can be actually be the player on the field playing the game versus kind of strategizing what game you even want to play.
You know, it's so interesting because, so I'm working on a book right now. It's the biggest book I've worked on maybe ever, but certainly since I wrote a book called Choose Yourself in 2013. And it's called, I'm not trying to market the book. The book's coming out a year from now. So it's BS no one's even going to remember. But the book's called Skip the Line. And it's how even no matter what age you are, no matter what situation you're in, and particularly right now, a lot of people are getting fired or laid off, or they're quitting their jobs, or they're questioning their lifestyle in this situation. You can change your passion and interest every time. And there are ways, there are not just tricks, but techniques to learn and get very quickly get at the top of a new field. And like you say, if you figure out just for a few minutes what you want to try, and then spend just a short amount of time trying it. So you get to experiment with what are your new interests. You can't think your way into a new passion. You have to do things. And like the guides you give and the online courses and so on are examples of things with very little downside of time or money, but huge upside in terms of knowledge and what you could do with that knowledge. And that's really the benefits of time like this and a list like this.
Yeah, I think it's all about just like high leverage activities. And, you know, you were talking about reading earlier. Reading is a great way, a great shortcut, because to your point, you are spending, let's call it 10 to 12 hours reading information that someone maybe spent 10 to 12 years to think about and then to end up actually writing and publishing. And so you're able to digest the learnings that someone had over a far longer period of time. And in that same regard, that's one of the things that like I am so thankful for as a young founder is I have the ability to have conversations with smart people that are in the top 1% of their respective fields or skill sets on a regular basis. People I shouldn't have the opportunity to talk with. And that to me is just an incredible, like skip the line, opportunity, like having the opportunity to talk with you where you've been in your career for so long, you've written books, you've written for, you know, every publication under the sun, you have a podcast, you've figured out, you know, every way under the sun to create value and monetize value. So the ability as a, you know, 26-year-old to have that conversation, to me is invaluable.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. And again, I love the newsletter. The only reason I know about your list is because this is the one newsletter I read. I kind of swore off newsletters, but I just kept going back to yours over and over again. I read it this morning. I read it each day. And so thanks again for agreeing to talk to me so quickly and, let people know how to sign up for the newsletter, how to find this guide.
Yep, for sure. Well, thank you again for having me. Always enjoy talking to smart people that are trying to add value to other people. If you want to read Morning Brew, go to www.morningbrew.com. There's not much else that you can do on that page other than put in your email address and you'll start getting the email 6 a.m. Eastern the next day. And we're basically publishing this guide on every social account and in our newsletter. So if you enter our ecosystem in some way over the next week, whether that be our social accounts or read our newsletter, you'll see this guide and it's being updated constantly. And we're actually taking recommendations at the bottom of the guide for other resources that you think should be included in it.
Well, once again, Alex, thanks so much. And everybody else, thanks for listening to the James Altucher Show. And Alex, I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I'm going to stop recording here.